Today, I hope I'm going to share with you a little bit about what God's doing in me.
Amen.
What He's revealed to me. Hopefully, it's a little funny. Hopefully, there's going to be some truth. There's going to be the law. There's going to be grace and mercy. There's going to be peace. It's going to be Jesus. It's going to be Him. And so I'm really thankful for the opportunity to be able to be here this morning. I want to start off by just praying and just inviting the Lord into this time to, as I share a testimony of what God's doing in my life, that He would use it to be glorified, that you guys would be touched in the way that the Lord needs to touch you this morning, the way that you need to be touched by the Lord. So I come before you, Lord, right now, and I just kneel. I give you my heart. I give you my mind. I give you my tongue. I give you my ears, Lord, and I just ask that you'd use this time as testimony to be glorified. I just thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to come before you, before my brothers and sisters. And I lift them up to you and pray that your spirit would bless them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I want to definitely start and thank you guys. I owe you guys so much because of your faithfulness in prayer. I am a living, walking, talking miracle because Amen. You guys were honored the Lord in your commitment to pray for me. I am a result of my heart coming back to the Lord. You guys have such a big part of it. And the only thing that I can do is serve you. As I serve the Lord, I serve you. I come before you today humble. I come before you today as a servant of you. I think the Lord has given me to you guys to be an encouragement.
Amen.
I 100% believe that because He's encouraging me, and He's encouraging me through you guys, and which is awesome. I want to share to you one of the visions that the Lord, or it actually was not a vision, it was a dream. Glenn thinks it was a vision, but I think it was a dream. Whoever's right, doesn't matter. So this dream that I had was... I was in like a Georgia kind of Atlanta type setting where there's, yeah, the South. There you go. Thank you. Appreciate it. And I was in this neighborhood. This neighborhood was not, I knew for some reason that not one person in the neighborhood knew the Lord. But there was this house that was there that a church group had rented out. They were in this neighborhood. They were there for the sole purpose to bring the gospel of Christ to the neighborhood, to see people saved. But these guys were the worst people on the block. The people that were there that weren't saved, they lived a better life than the people that were saved. The people that knew God, it was like, oh my gosh. As I was in the group and in the midst of the... my heart was breaking because I knew that these people, they saw it, and they were just absolutely, in the heart of hearts, in their mind of mind, they were put off by the people of the Lord. And it broke my heart. Oh, man. And then the arrogance of them is there was this man, there was this one household, and the man that lived in this house, the head of the house, he was injured. He had a withered hand. And he wore a white glove over this withered hand. And these guys decided to, after some time of being in the neighborhood, got the courage up to go and to preach to this man. And it was like an army of God followers, supposedly, marched up to this house and started preaching the gospel to him, trying to cast out demons. This guy's arm wasn't caused that way by demonic oppression. And as they did that, it was like a clanging cymbal. It was like a drum that was pounding. It was so annoying to the man that he said he sent him away. And it was really, in this dream, Eric showed up right then. I was like, huh, this is cool. And Eric was pleading with these guys. He's pleading with the family, please don't let this be the example. Please don't let this be the example. Lord is real. Jesus is real. And as he's pleading with them, and he's got the word of God in his hand, and he's saying, please, 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 please believe. And he touched the arm with, and the arm came back to life.
And the whole time I was sitting there, I was preached up like this, and I was going, woo-hoo! Yes! Yes, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Because I knew he had been healed. The Lord healed him. The withered hand came back to life, and I was so thankful. Oh, my gosh. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. And the guy knew what happened. He removed his glove, and the hand was it was whole. There was no more witheredness. Life had come back. The whole family got saved. The whole family. Not only the family, but the people around that knew him. He was a bitter old man because of a withered hand. He ended up becoming a Christian that day. The people in the neighborhood became Christians that day. They surrendered their hearts. And I fell to my knees and I was praising the Lord. Just thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Your works, your glory. It is so beautiful. That's a dream. That was a dream. How much more beautiful is it in real life? That was just a dream. So Glenn thinks it's a vision. It might happen. It might. I'd say it was a dream. But it was pretty neat, huh?
Pretty detailed.
That was pretty cool. Very detailed. So there's a little encouragement. Now I'm out of breath because I'm fat.
I don't need to write
on your. No, go.
But it was not a dream.
Hey, I received that, brother.
You and my son
Yeah, I received that, brother. That's good. I like that. Amen. God does give us those, the forecoming of what's going to happen, and it's so encouraging. When we step out in faith and we just honor the Lord, the encouragement. Linda, yesterday, just a small little bit, you were encouraged, were you not? Yeah, very much so. Leslie was there, and it was neat because as just simply saying, you know, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. God has put you over this ministry. Don't be sorry for what you do. You're apologizing for the things that, and that's God doing it, not you. So don't apologize for the things of the Lord. And that's pretty awesome. It touched her heart. It was at the right time, at the right moment, and it touched her heart. Not only her heart, but mine too. But also her daughter's too. So when the word of the Lord goes out, it transforms us. It is the power by faith as we step out, as we hear the word of God. It's that which transforms us. It's not the law. But in that, I'd like to share with you a little bit about the law. So, and this is my personal testimony. Not all of you guys know. So it was probably about eight years ago. I don't know everybody in here. That I stepped away from the ministry. I was involved in sin. It was a sexual sin with my now wife, you know, and it caused me to be distorted in my views. It caused me to start to believe lies. I became very cynical. The end result is I turned my back and I walked away. And that sucked. It sucked for me and it sucked for you guys. You guys lost out and so did I. No one won. And that's the truth of sin. There is no winner involved in sin. There's no victor in sin. But in that, fast forward up to about 2 months ago, I was at home drinking and drinking and drinking and trying to drown out not only the voice of God, but trying to just fulfill an emptiness that was inside of me. In the midst of the whole time, I knew in my heart that surrender was going to be the answer and the key. But just like you guys, I'm a fighter. I don't like to give up. So I had my hands up. And I was fighting. I was fighting God. And I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But I can fight for quite a long time. And I'm sorry for that. There's a lot of stubbornness that is inside me, but it could be used for good. It could be used for good, and I believe that wholeheartedly. So as I got in an accident, as I decided to make a wise decision to drive while I was drunk, I backed up into somebody,
And by the way, a lot of this testimony comes from other people telling me because I blacked out. I don't remember a lot of it. So from reports and eyewitnesses and testimonies and the loving family that still came to my side.
Only thing you know is you were drunk.
I knew I was drunk. Absolutely, 100%. And then God also gave me a vision of what happened. And I don't know why he did that, but hey, he did that. So I accept it, and I remember it. As I backed up into this car, no one was in the car. And by the way, I was trying to buy donuts, and I did that. backed up, and the guy came out of the donut shop, and he was upset with what I was trying to take off after hitting the car. He came up to my window, and it was really, really strange because all of a sudden there was a spirit of fear that came over me that was so strong it caused me just to punch the gas, and I took off. Well, his son came running out and ended up running in, either I hit him or he ran into my vehicle as I was going. And then I made it home. And praise God, because I was hammered. I don't even remember how I made it home. I know there was other cars on the road that time. So I'm trying not to glorify the sin in this, but just so you guys know, later on, and I'm not sure the time frame, how many hours or minutes that are in between, Eric and my mother-in-law, and I guess my wife, but I don't recall her being there, showed up at the house. They had to break in because I had barricaded and pushed everybody out, just as a picture of sin. Barricade, push everybody out. Yeah, absolutely. And so as they broke in and they came in, I remember asking for my brother. I really wanted that relationship restored. And I knew it was demonic. I knew it was evil. I knew it was from the devil that continued to put a block and a division and a hindrance. And in the state that I was in, I shouldn't have been able to do what I did. I asked for my brother. I wanted him. I was at a place where I was completely turned over to the alcohol. If anything, I should have been mad and angry and upset and even more violent towards him, because I already had an anger and a hatred towards him in my heart. And it was the mercies of God, because as he came into the room, I remember hugging him, and so much of the baggage and the chains that were on my life just dropped like that. I was being set free by the Lord. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's so amazing as that just started to fall off. I told him, I don't know why I'm mad at you anymore. Please forgive me. And he did. He said, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. The heart of Christ that lives in my brother. And he chose to forgive me even though I was angry and hateful and mean. I put his family and you guys and my family in tons of emotional stress and turmoil. But he knew what the real fight was. So he was able to fight the real fight. You guys knew what the real fight was. And you fought the real fight. It wasn't me. It was a demonic oppression. It wasn't me. It was sin. You prayed for me. You prayed for the restoration. You prayed. It is the power of the Lord. And it is so amazing. And as I stood there in my living room and cops, and this is the next part that I remember, were ready to draw their weapons, and some probably had weapons drawn, I had a decision to make, and I didn't know what decision to make. I looked around, and I saw 8-9 guys. I thought, they probably brought just enough people, because I was about ready to fight. It was by the grace of God that I didn't make another move.
Because they had guns.
Because, well, yeah, and I'm sure if I would have made another move, I would have been dead. They would have shot me. And I ended up choosing to surrender to the law. And at that point in time, when I chose to surrender to the law, I came underneath what the provisions of the law. They took me. But they took me to the hospital, not to jail, and I don't know why. Because, well, actually, I do know why. They thought I was nuts. So,
amen.
I ended up going to the hospital, and I got a 5150 because I ended up taking, I guess, sleeping medication along with of the amount of alcohol that I drank. And so they said, hey, he's not mentally stable. And even that was the mercy and grace of God that happened. And so, but as that has passed, and I came under that law, I've seen that there's been mercy, there's been grace, there's been peace, there's been hope, and it, huh?
Restoration.
But I surrendered to the law. Now here's where the law, and I've seen it in AA, because I'm trying to bring this into the picture of how the law is good, how people are can see the law as such a very, very good thing. And I think it is a very, very good thing. It came down from the Father of Lights. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. And so as he came and he delivered the law, it was a statute to live by. But the end result and the wages of sin, which is transgression against the law, is death. So even though I found mercy because I surrendered and I came under the law, even though I found grace because I surrendered and came under the law, even though I found peace because I surrendered and came under the law, I found life because I surrendered and I came under the law. It was only temporary. It was fleeting. It was a covering. It wasn't a filling. And so it's funny how the Lord showed me the law versus mercy and grace in a piece of Swiss cheese. A piece of Swiss cheese, like God, come on, really, Swiss cheese?
What? How did they? What did, during your 50? What?
No, not during the 5150, but after during one of the visions.
I was just beginning to think maybe they're right.
Yeah, they probably are right. And so as I go. So this Swiss cheese, for some reason, you know, when you make a sandwich, the cheese isn't quite right; doesn't fit the whole piece. So the same thing, it's like as you laid the Swiss cheese down, there was a hole. So somebody had laid another piece of Swiss cheese on top of it to cover the hole. And in my heart of hearts, I said, that's not right. That's not right. You can't cover the hole you can't cover it. It doesn't take care of the problem. There's still a problem. There's still a hole. Just because you cover it doesn't mean that the problem is solved. It just means that it's covered. And that's what the law does. The law covers the sin for a day. When you make the sacrifice, as in the Levitical law, it covered the sin. It caused you to be blameless for a day. It didn't do anything for eternity. It's mercy and grace were on this side, and two lines that come, and there's a point back there. They meet. They meet back at that point. The law and God are eventually going to come together. And at that point, where the Lord showed me is that mercy and grace were taken and they were passed to us because Jesus, who is the perfect sacrifice, who is the spotless Lamb of God, died for our sins. He died for our sins one time. And it's forever. It's forever. It's not for just today. It's for tomorrow. It's for the next day. It's for all the sins of my past. It's all the sins of your past. That the grace of the Lord is now being imparted to us because the spotless lamb was sacrificed for us. And that was awesome because as I go through AA and I look and I see every day people come in there and they are being set free. They are getting peace. They are getting things restored to them. They have an appearance of life because they're coming under a set of rules. They're coming under a set of laws that are going to, and they are good laws. They're good rules. It does do those things for you. So as how hard is it when somebody says, but my life is good now. My life is really good now. I follow all these rules. When I follow all these rules, I get all this stuff. It's peace. It's grace. It's life. It's But really, at the very end, the law produces, and the wages of the sin is death. It's death. It's not life. It ends up bringing us to a point where we need Jesus. We need his grace and his mercy and his sacrifice. It's by the shedding of his blood that covered our sin. He chooses to give us his spirit and to fill that hole and that void. That's amazing. And I think that's
where you are today.
That's where I am today. I'm here. Look at the miracle. I'm here. Wow. Look at you guys. You're here. What a miracle. What a walking, talking miracle. Becky, you're a walking, talking miracle, just like we said this morning. Joe, Leslie, you guys are walking, talking miracles. But hey. No, for real. For real. And I want to thank you guys. I owe you guys so much because of your prayers. I owe you guys so much because you guys chose to love me like Jesus did. And all I can do in return is do the same for you. Thank you.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. There's I would like to just to, I don't want to lighten up what the Lord is doing and what he's already speaking. And there's a you know, oh goodness gracious. As Matt's up here speaking and sharing, his name is Matthew Parker Snatchko. You guys have heard a lot of my testimony and my stories, and my stepdad's name is Parker Matthew Snatchko. He's named after my stepdad. Where a lot of my issues in life have come from. And I look at them even now and say the things that were hard then, God has produced. There's a song that's saying about, it's real popular in the radio now. I think it's King and Country, where he's making diamonds out of dust. And every time that comes on, it's like, oh. You know, just because I see God doing that in not just my life, but in people's lives, you know, and I don't want to make this anything about what God's doing in us, because what God is doing in us, when I say God is doing it, he's doing stuff. He's doing the work. He's taking the garbage of life. And that is so good about God. When we speak of and we sing of our God being a good, good Father, he is so good at taking the messes that, I can say the mess of my life wasn't brought on, a lot of it wasn't brought on by myself. I was just a kid that my mom was trying to find herself and trying to find, and she just was attracted to guys that were bad, that were not good. And brought them into our home and produced bad and not good scenarios and situations in our life that, you guys have heard some of my stories, and they blow my mind. They rattle my cage, if you will. They shake me to the core because I shouldn't even be alive. And when Matt shares these things, and he shares this as a person that is not just my brother, but as he's my stepdad's son, it's really, really a graceful thing. And each and every one of you have got a story in your life, I think, right here and right now, that when you see people, when things happen, when stuff triggers, you're brought to a place of where there's pain. And you're brought to that place of where there's pain and there's struggle and there's there's issues in the heart that come up that you didn't know existed maybe. And God brings them to the surface and he says, okay, here's what I want to do now. I want to take that. If you give it to me, I will produce something out of that that's above and beyond what you could ever even fathom. It's not just like putting you back together and making you nice and pretty, whatever that's a word, pretty. I want to take you and transform you into my image. Something that you can't do on your own. You can't do by trying hard. You can't do by going to programs. You can't do by going even to church. Church is good, but church isn't going to do it. God is, God will, and he says, just give it to me and let me do it in you. I'm here, and Matt's here to testify as two brothers that have let God do what God wants to do in us and through us. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God and God alone, not me, not him. Amen. Praise the Lord, because that moment when he doesn't even recall doing it, and he was like grabbing a hold of me and asking me to forgive him, and he didn't know what was going on. I knew what was going on, but there's moments, and here's the thing is can I just share this with you guys? There's moments like you're gonna
no,
say
you
no.
can't share.
Yeah,
that.
Sorry. I know. Please no. There's moments of trust. The step of faith. What's the Indiana Jones movie? Alfonso reminded me of it, where he's got to throw the dust out. Remember to see if there was something there to stand on, and then there was. And it was like a step, and that step of faith is one that I got to put all my weight on, and it doesn't appear, and it doesn't appear to be solid until I put my weight on it, and I release my back leg weight of the holding on, which I know is solid, and put my weight into something that I'm not sure is even there until I step, and then I have to commit to that commitment. And I think I shared it with them at one point, but that place where I went into that bedroom and took that step of, I don't know what's going to happen here. I really didn't know what was going to happen here. My life, I thought, because I don't know if you guys noticed, he's trimmed down. But he's a big guy. He grabbed a hold of me and hugged me. And I'm thinking, oh, is this a trick? Yeah. I thought that, is this a trick? Is he going to just right now squeeze the life out of me and strangle me? I thought that for a moment because he was holding me that tight. But I didn't realize that, you know, I did. I knew what was going on, but there was this faith that I had to say, let him squeeze you. Even if it squeezes the life out of you, it's okay. And I said, I had to trust that whatever, even if my life ends right now. And I know that's like, you think, your brother's not gonna, it's like, yeah, there's some time. Woo. Yeah, the Lord has really protected us from our spats, because we go at it sometimes, and it's like, you just like, it's weird, it's like two bowls of Jello going at it, you know, it's like, it's funny, but I gotta say this, is take that step, trust to the extent of giving you, if Jesus has called us to be ambassadors for him in a lost, dying, hurting, angry, confused world, how else are we going to do it if we don't step into it and say, here's me as a Jesus follower, and if you so choose to take me with you, then got to take that step, and I got to make that choice. Christians that say and just sit there and like point fingers in like in this vision about, you know, where we make God to be this, you know, mighty smiter that's just looking to just do away with us, that's a misportrayal, and I got to say this, and I've said it many times, is one of the things that makes God the most angry and the most upset and disappointed is when he's misrepresented by his people. Do not miss, and maybe that is when that vision is so, because that's such a passion of mine, it does upset me, it bothers me, it angers me to a point of, do not misrepresent the God of grace and mercy and justice. They're in there. They're all there. Do not misrepresent that God, who that God is. And trust that God has called you to be and step into a world that might take you out as you take the step. So be it. So be it. And God's love, let God's love just permeate your heart this morning. Let God's love just, as you submerge, as you get baptized into Jesus, man, just fall into him. Hallelujah. Amen. I know that somebody else wants to share. Alfonso, were you wanting to share something? Or are you? Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Of course.
Ooh, man. The Holy Spirit's here, and I am just like, thank you, Jesus.
So, as Matt gave his testimony of what's gone on in the last 8 years, the Lord spoke to me saying, while Matt did not ask the Lord to divide his estate, he likens Matt to the story of the parable of the prodigal son, who was lost and now he is found. So the Lord basically is going to use you, Matthew, my son, he says, to go and show people who were lost that with Jesus, because 6.5-7 weeks ago, the Lord swung the gates of heaven, welcoming you right back with his arms fully open. And he's going to use you to show people who have strayed from the Lord, look, I was lost, but I am now found. Not in my earthly father, but my heavenly father.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Did you want to share something, Pam?
Good morning, everyone. First, I want to say praise God. I'm glad to be here today. A lot of you I recognize, some I don't. I want to tell you a little something. I had knee surgery in May, but it was my fourth surgery on the same knee. So my scar tissues are taking a long time to heal. But about 3 weeks ago, one night I was laying on the couch, and I got ready to get up, and I lost all control of my legs. It was like I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. All I could do was slide around and drag myself on the floor. And I laid there and I wondered, what could I do? I've been here 2 years. I know nobody. So I knew nobody to call to come and help me or anything like that. So I called 911. So they came. And they lifted me up off the floor, put me on the couch. But my door, you can't lock it from the outside. It has to be locked from the inside. So when they left, I thought, I have to lock the door. So I get up. I said, okay, Lord, I have to lock this door. And I fall down again. And now I'm there. They won't come back out. And I laid there, and I began to realize that I was angry. I was angry at God because of my condition. And I had no right to be angry with God because there are people that don't even have legs. To be paralyzed, I was totally paralyzed, and I don't know why. So I laid there all night long. I couldn't get up to go to the restroom. I couldn't get up to get me anything to eat. I had to just lay there. But God put me there for a reason. He wanted me to lay and listen, to listen to him. You have fallen from the grace of God. You no longer trust me. So I have to do this to you to get you to trust me again. Because you know I love you. I tell you in my word, I am. He is that person. You know, he's my all in all. And I'm so grateful that I can even move my feet and my legs now, you know. And it was just something that was so, it was so startling to me because that had never happened to me. I've never felt paralyzed before. I've never been where I couldn't help myself before. And I was walking yesterday and I was looking for someone to come and give, I get in home service. So I was looking for someone to give me a couple of hours or 2 or 3 hours a week or something like this. And I was riding my scooter and I happened to see this girl, young lady. I don't see her here today, but she said she would be here. But he told me, ask her. So I asked her and she said, yes. She would. She would come over today and we would talk. But in the meantime, she said, I have to go to church tomorrow. I said, where do you go? I'm looking for a church. She said, I go to the salt mine. I thought, that's the church I was going to. And I stopped going. I don't know why. So I said, okay, I'll see you there tomorrow because I'm going to go. Yesterday, all day, Satan had me so torn up. I cried all day. I was lonesome. I was bored. I felt like I was only somebody on this earth that was living. I even thought suicide, you know. I got to get out of this. I have to get out of this mess I'm in. I'm in a mess that I can't control. I can't control this. I can't control my own life anymore. But it through by the grace of God, he sent her to me to tell me, salt mine. Go back to the salt mine.
Amen.
So if God bless and say the same, I will be here every Sunday. Because I have got to get back into the grace of God. And I love Eric. And Robert, I tell you, Robert is, oh, God.
Yeah, we know.
They're going to look at me different than you look at me.
Thank you for sharing that, Pam. What a treat. Now, we're going to hold you to that. Now, you spoke that word. It's in public. It's like going out into the airwaves. All right. All right. She don't tell lies. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like Glenn's going to share a message next week with us.
Well, I'm going to share a message this week.
Oh, okay. Cool. Baptism's not till 3.
No. Hand off my...
Oh,
lousy.
Sorry. But I
hate that thing.
Here's where I sense that the Lord wants to do this because I this is very powerful. God... I'm going to steal your Bible for a second, but the power of God's word to is not just, these aren't just really good suggestions to live by, even though there are great suggestions to live by in this. The power of his word to transform a life, to snatch a soul from the enemy's grip. Because I believe it doesn't make it true, but I believe it to be true because it is true. I believe that. And I believe that. And I've seen it happen. Where there are times in that years and years of just turmoil and in, as Alfonso put it, a hostage situation for me. I was probably, no, I think Megan, his wife, was the biggest hostage that Matt took to just live in sin. But I might have been the second, because it was all directed, the anger because of who I am and who I, in his life, the anger was directed all at me. And I even gave Megan, I said, Megan, I need to give you the permission to allow Matt to direct everything at me. And that's okay. That's okay. I think I can handle it. And there were times I didn't think I could handle it. And there were times it was really, really hard. There were times I just wanted to go over there and like punch him in the throat. And there were times that I just wanted to just give him a hug. But here's what I believe to be absolutely true, and I believe this to be something that God wants to do in our midst today, is there's people in our lives, there's loved ones, there's friends, there's family that are prodigal. They've turned away. And you're a hostage. Own it, identify it, and let's get through it. Let's give that person to the Lord. That's when we say, man, there was something that so powerfully that happened. And I'll share this because I think it's going to happen here today. I do. I'm going to share just a little bit of part of what Matt, I've shared this with him, but he doesn't realize, and I didn't realize what was actually happening in the heavenlies, what we were putting into effect here on earth. What we were binding here on earth was being bound in heaven. What we were releasing here on earth was being released in heaven. It happened the day before he got this, that this accident came about. The day before, the night before, I met my family up there camping up in the Tahodana area. Everybody was there. My sister Michelle was here visiting. My mom was there. The whole family was there. And the Lord came. God came over me and spoke some words through me in the midst of this camping trip. We were around a campfire and we all just gathered together. We gathered hands together and we released Matt to the Lord. We released him to the Lord, and it was such a powerful thing. And we prayed for him, and we prayed for his soul, and we prayed for his complete salvation again. And I know that's like, okay, can you do that? Well, we prayed that God would grab a hold. We prayed that. And it was so powerful, you know, in that moment of giving him over to God. And the words were this, and the words, God gave me these words that I don't know why I didn't get it sooner. It would have been a lot easier. And it was these words. It was, there was nothing, God told me this, there's nothing that you can or can't do. And that's very specific, because I was, like I said, I told Megan, blame it all on me. Whatever he's going through, let all of the anger be taken out at me instead of you. So I was getting, and it actually happened. That actually happened. I was getting blamed for what I wasn't doing. And whenever I did do something, I was getting blamed as being the problem for where he's at. I mean, to where even it started causing dissension and even fights within my own family. My own sisters were calling me and like, how come you're not doing this? How come you're not doing that? How come you're not, you know, you'll do all this other stuff for everybody else, but you won't do it for your own brother. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, all this stuff and the heaps of condemnation and blame were coming on me. I'm sharing this very real, guys. This is very real. I don't want you guys to miss where we're going to get here. But I remember I allowed that. I permitted that. I said, go ahead. And then that release then of saying, there's nothing that you can or can't do that's going to change or transform Matt's life. Only I can do it. Give him to me. I'm like, man, that sounds so simple. Why didn't I get that before? why didn't I just do that before? Why did I feel like I had to do all this stuff to get a hold of him? Why did I feel like it was stuff that I couldn't do to, you know, I was afraid to, you know, say certain words or I was afraid, you know, and then I was like, dang it, I missed an opportunity. And all these things that the enemy was using to just heap condemnation, and it's all my fault. But remember, I said, go ahead and do it. But that was, I think, a walk of faith to say, God, I'm going to trust that as I take that step of faith to that you're going to give me the stability, because the enemy was trying to take my knees out. And it was really close. There was a couple of times it was really close. And a lot of you, some of you that are really close to me knew what was going on in our lives, and some of you may not have known at all. But God was doing all of this stuff. But here's what I want to say, and I'm going to say it very clearly. There is nothing that you can or cannot do that can get a hold of anybody's life. Only God can. I want you to right now, and this is a powerful thing by the power of the Holy Spirit, right now, pinpoint one person that you know is prodigal, that you know has walked away, that has turned away from the Lord. And just pinpoint one person in your mind and in your heart and receive that word that there's nothing that you can or cannot do that only God can. And ask God to do it. Release that person to the Lord right now. Say, God, this person is yours. This person is yours to save. This person's soul belongs to you. And right now, I bind the works of the enemy in Jesus' name by the power of the blood of the perfect spotless lamb that was slain for my sins and the sins of this person right now that I'm directing this at. He's got the power to transform, forgive, and release. And we release that person to you, God, who is loving, graceful, merciful, and just. And we ask you, we don't just ask, we ask in a way that is asking that it is happening. We're speaking it to happen into this person's life right now. That you grab a hold of them. That you snatch them from the enemy's hold. In Jesus' name, by the power of your Spirit, use whatever circumstance. And we're going to take a step and we're going to trust you that you use whatever circumstance that you see fit to use in that person's life to snatch them, to grab them, to bring them. And the word in the prodigal son story is this. Bring him, her to their senses. And that it seems almost unspiritual, but it's very spiritual. Bring them to their senses that they may see they need you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, already ahead of time for what you're going to do, the victories, the testimonies that are even going to be able to be shared even this very next week. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Whew. It's happened. It's happening and it's happened. Yes. Amen. Amen. All of us. I felt that for you guys especially.
Ministerial interview before you vote on your pastors. As Matt began his very emotional testimony, I was most interested in watching many of you. It's always interesting what happens when the Lord comes. Some people run to him, some people hit the door. Yeah. we had some hit the door.
You know, that was really funny, because as you share that, I was reading this morning, and maybe that was just another vision that was happening. As I was reading, as Jesus was crucified and the veil was torn, and I fell to my knees and I said, "Thank you, Jesus. The veil was torn, and now we can come to Him, and I'm so thankful for that." But then He was put into a tomb, and there was a guard that was set over the tomb, and as the angel came and removed the stone, she shook with fear, and He played dead. And I thought that was so funny, because I was thinking the same this morning. I was like, as the Lord comes, I've done this at church, I played dead. And I said, well, there's one exit. Well, they blocked that one. There's another one. And so, but then as the Holy Spirit comes, and then I'm playing dead, and I'm doing this. He's still here. Oh, shoot. That was funny.
God is good. God is good. Yep, all the time. Well, we don't want to close this with something you need to share. If you're here and have something to share, going. Yes. Come on, get up here and get this microphone. They can't hear you otherwise. Yep. Love you, sweetie. Amen.
When you guys were sharing, I just said, God, I just think you're going to have me open the Word, and you've got something to say to me this morning. I'm just going to open it right where it is, and you can get in trouble doing that, but
yes,
it can be really good too. So it just opened up to this, and it said, if only you had known what this means, that I desire mercy and not sacrifice.
Amen.
If only you'd known this.
Amen.
Because, you know, these people were all over Jesus because they weren't doing, they weren't honoring the Sabbath. They weren't acting right. They weren't doing the right thing. And it's like, church, you are so worried about people looking right and doing the right thing, and you're missing the whole point that they need mercy. And these people in our lives, you know, I have dedicated 6 children like you guys did this morning. My Reb and I have stood up, and we have dedicated 6 kids, and 4 of those 6 are wandering right now, and they're lost, and they're hurting, and it's dark. It's turn off all the lights and try to find yourself home, you know. And they need mercy, you know. They don't need somebody to tell them what they should be doing or shouldn't be doing, you know. They need mercy is powerful. And sometimes we're so afraid to give mercy because we just don't know how much mercy we've had, you know. I just think we got to be strong on them and say stuff.
Speak
you
for
know?
Yourself.
Yeah, okay. But mercy is so powerful. It's not weak, you know. You have people you love that are wandering. Mercy isn't weak. It's powerful. You know, Jesus said that's what's going to follow you all the days of your life. You look behind you, and goodness and the steadfast love of God and mercy are just, they're still there. Still, you know, close your eyes. They're still there, you know. His mercy is so powerful, and somehow we think that if we're merciful, people are going to get away with something, or they're not going to go straight, or whatever, you know. And it's Linda. Sure. Of course there are. Yeah. That you will raise up your children the ways of the Lord, and when they were old, they won't depart from it. God has it. There's no time with Him. I see this year and last year and, gosh, for the last 8 years, that there's no time with Him. And so He told me this. He said, you can rejoice when you see the day, and you will, or you can rejoice now before you see the day. So it's just when you want to start dancing. So I say now.
Why not now? Amen. Thanks, Bev. Thank you. Corby, you headed up here? Yes. Where? Yes, Pam.
I just wanted to say, last week I went to Clear Lake,
emotions are something we're we should be very comfortable with, but we're not, are we? I have a couple brothers. I'm not like them at all, but anytime they try to share anything, they break up. I know he is. He has been all through this testimony. But Matt's joined the team, Gail. Yeah, don't take me to a movie because I cry through all of them. Anybody, anything? It's been a nice day in the Lord. Where? Where? Amen. 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 Yep. Well, the teaching that the Lord gave me is totally in keeping with what the guys have shared today, so we'll pick it up next week and go from there. Three o'clock this afternoon, we'll convene. We have some candidates for baptism. We need witnesses. Come join us.